The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is John Silver, lead recruiter of the Dark Order, and you are listening to All Things Elite.
Welcome to the 165th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin. I am the host of this lovely show, and I just killed a moth as we speak because one was flying around my computer desk as I was saying that intro. I got him, so I don't got to worry about it. My name is Austin Summits once again, host of this lovely show. I'm back after being off last week because my schedule changed up, so I'm very glad to be back with my good buddy and good friend, the other host of this show, Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
Dude, I am so happy you're back. I am so bad when you're not here. I'm just like, you're the point guard. You are the quarterback of this offense. And, you know, I like to come in, sit on mute while you guide the place and then jump in with my comments. And then when you try to host, you just got to remember you kind of the path of the show and where it's going. And you're just so much more
thinking.
Yeah, you're just so much more natural at it. I'm just like, I just want to unmute and talk shit. That's what I want to do. And, yeah, you allow me to do that. So I missed you.
I missed you too.
Thanks, JR, for being on the show as always. He's always willing, you know, when you can't be on the show, he's always willing to jump on and give his thoughts. But I just like, man, it's a different show, a different feel when Austin's on here. So welcome back, sir. So I'm going to start with a little question because I asked a little poll on my own personal Twitter yesterday. So I want to get your thought. I don't know if you voted. Did you vote?
I did not vote. No, I haven't been on Twitter, but I did see the poll.
Yes. And so I got to ask you, and you don't know what side I'm on. So you don't know, right?
No.
No, you have no idea what side I'm on. So I don't want you to think that I'm skewing it. So just based on card, like match for match, whatever, which card is better? What happened 2021, the card that was presented, or the card that is planned for tomorrow?
I'm actually going to pull up the card from last year just to make sure I got it. I saw that I believe Tiffany was the one who tweeted out, well, that one had Cody, so that one's better.
So, yeah, I was like, JR, that's a guaranteed vote there, in general, because we know which way my buddy's going to vote.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're already going up against quite possibly one of the hardest things you possibly could do, because the show literally opened with that 30-minute time limit draw between Omega and Danielson. So you're already fighting an uphill battle. And then you got a Malakai Cody Rhodes match again. That one was huge. Sting and Darby against FTR, just crazy. Finished off with Dr. Britt Baker and Ruby Soho facing off against each other. Back when Ruby Soho was actually in the title picture, Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah, it feels like it was just yesterday. That was her title shot from winning the Battle Royal.
I know. That's crazy. It just feels like, man, how much time passes and then all of a sudden nothing's changed. Or, in fact, a lot has changed. But looking at what I have right now, I will say the four-way looks great. I think the ROH title match is huge. I think the tag match is great. Because, honestly, the thing that's holding everything back is that singles-wise, you know, you've got a lot of room for this to be really good. I think this card overall for 2022, this year's card, overall is more balanced and stronger. But I think in terms of, like, the best matches, I think you're finding that last year with Omega Danielson and then Malakai and Cody. And I just think that, you know, I think that one has the better matches. Of course, we haven't seen this week's one, but, you know, I think this week's card might be better. But it's gonna, of course, like, if you're going to compare it to last year, you've got a hard comparison with that opening match with Danielson and Omega, of course.
So, all right. So, just to let y'all know the results of the voting, it was 57.5% for 2021 and 42.5% for 2022. The reason I did not want anyone to know which side we were on, because I didn't want it to be based on popularity, whether you like JR or me better, which everyone knows everyone likes me better. So it's not, you know, so I didn't really want to skew the votes that way. I actually went with 2022. And that might shock a lot of people, because on last year's card was FTR and Cody, right? But if you look on this card, year's card, and I'm not, like, I'm just going card, and we're going to do a little more detailed preview. You have 5 matches on the show, right? All title matches, right? You got a big Danielson and Mox match, right? Which is, you can at least put it on card with Kenny Omega and Danielson, right? You have Jericho versus Cesaro, right? You have a fatal 4-way for the women's title where literally anyone could win. Orange Cassidy and Pac. You know, then you got Swerve and Our Glory between what I reluctantly, and I'm going to reluctantly say, it's probably the hottest tag team in AEW right now, the Acclaimed. I just think paper, one against the other, 2022 is better. Now, I love FTR and Cody. Of course, I worship these three men. So, but if you look at the card, last year, there wasn't a lot of stakes in any of the matches. Actually, there were no stakes. Danielson and Omega wasn't for the title. Ended and ended in a draw. You know? It's like, and then you got, you had MJF and Pillman, throwaway match. That's basically a dark elevation match, right? You did have the big match with Malakai Black and Cody. And I honestly don't even remember what happened in the match. So I'm like, I am really like, Malakai defeated Cody. And I remember he cheated. I think that was the first time he used the mist. Then you had Sting and Darby and FTR. Really, really solid match, but no stakes. Then you had Britt and Ruby, singles match, right? So you had 5 matches last year, 2 title matches. No, 1 title match, 4 non-title matches. 5 matches this year, 5 title matches, every title, literally, I feel like every title can change hands, and you're going to get a guaranteed AEW world champion. But I didn't want to make the defense. I really didn't. I didn't want me and JR's defenses out there or anything. I just wanted to see, and JR did win. I told him, I'm like, hey, you might win, whatever. JR's side won. That makes him right. He loves being right. I want to, and he's never lost an argument ever. So y'all have continued his tyrannical reign. But I said, it's just like, to me on paper, 2022 is way better. It feels like they stepped it up from 2021. And it's just like, Omega and Danielson was big. And that's what I was going to, that was where I was going to say. I felt like 2021 felt bigger and was marketed better than 2022. What do you think, Austin?
No, I think I'm still on your side, definitely. Just because, like I said, I think balance wise for this entire card, you know, because I love the tag match of getting Sting and Darby involved. But like, again, you had a 30-minute match that took a good amount of that show. That's 25% of your show. And that's taken up by one match, one amazing match. But regardless of the talent on the rest of the card, like MJF, Brian Pillman Jr., that match was absolutely the piss break match. I love MJF, but I mean, like, this was the piss break match. You had Malakai and Cody, which was good, but, you know, it was Cody losing because of cheating. Some people wanted Malakai to win clean, blah, 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 blah. Sting and Darby Allin, FTR, that's great. Still didn't go past 10 minutes. And then Britt Baker, Ruby Soho, still wish Ruby Soho would have gotten a chance, like, down the road to get another shot at the title. It is what it is, though. But at least that was the longest match besides the opening match in the card. But I think balancing, like overall, this card looks better than last year's card, in my opinion, for Grand Slam. But that's just me.
You know what's so funny? And I'll tell you this. Straight voting, you saw how the vote was. And you see that, and it's like, oh, man, you know, it seems like a big number, but I think it was like 22 to 18. That was the vote on the 40. So it was pretty close when you look at it, 22 to 18 versus percentages. But every person that has asked me about it afterwards, and we actually discussed it, they were like, oh, well, yeah, 2022 is better. And I was like, you know what the big thing was? Because they remember 2021. They actually had already seen it. And they remember how good that Danielson and Omega match was.
Yeah. But
everybody remembers that. You've already experienced it. It's already imprinted on you. So you're like, nothing can match that. But when I sit there and actually talk the card out, they're like, huh, 22 is better on paper. And which is all I was saying. Because I don't, you know, I love 2021. I mean, I love AEW. I mean, doing a podcast. Yeah, we're like, so I love AEW. So I'm not saying 2021 was bad, but I'm just saying, if you think about it, you're supposed to try to elevate the next card. And I think Tony really has this time. But we're going to talk about that later on in previews. But it was just kind of a cool little poll. Because JR was like, throw out a poll. And I was like, I have a little wrestling group. And I was like, but I knew what my wrestling group was going to say. I was going to be able to make my discussion on my wrestling group. And they were going to be like, yeah, 2022. But yeah, 2021, like, was great. And it felt bigger. It really did feel bigger. But it was just like, 2022 doesn't feel as big, and I don't know whose fault that is, but it's actually a bigger show.
I think the fault of that is the fact that people have been distracted by outside things as opposed to the actual television product.
And
I think that's the reason why this card or this build to Grand Slam doesn't feel as substantial, because right now people aren't talking about AEW on television. They're talking about what's going on behind the scenes.
Which is so funny to me, because it's like, it did get to a point and we got information. Now we're like, there hasn't been any new information.
No.
Like, in a week. And people are still talking about it. And it's just like, for me, who, I'm like, I'm Team Punk. I always say that. But it's like, I really do, the reason I'm Team Punk, because sometimes I can be a contrarian. And I've just seen these overwhelming people. It's Punk's fault that this is happening. It's Punk's fault that this is happening. And I am not going to relitigate this at all. So I'm like, but it just feels like if you really try to just take out who you like better out of it, there's plenty of fault to go all around, you know? And it's just like, so it's just like, it's very
weird. Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Yeah, there's plenty of fault to go around. I'm like, TK, Hangman, you know, Punk,
definitely. Maybe Nakazawa,
Punk, Omega, Young Bucks. I was talking to a friend tonight, and
did you not even hear me say it could have been Nakazawa's fault all along?
Yes, it's obviously Nakazawa's fault. No.
I'm just saying, man. Like, acknowledge when I'm making a joke.
Yes. No, it was I thought the joke was for everybody else, not for me. No, but I was talking to my friend Sam, and I was like, dude, because he was like, he's very much like, oh, it's the Bucks. And I'm like, so what happens if, and I'm like, this is not me not being backstage or knowing anything that happened. What happens if the Bucks say, you know what? I didn't like what he says. Let's draft up an email and set up a meeting for Wednesday afternoon before the show. Are we having any of these conversations? And I'm like, hindsight's 2020. I'm not emotional. I wasn't the one getting shit talked about me. So, of course, I can look at it with a clear head and say, this is what should have been done. But, hey, somebody just kind of went on the 20-minute rant and basically called you children and said you aren't fit to manage a Target, which, shout out to Target people. Managing a Target looks like it's fucking hard because people are annoying. But
yes.
It's like you have to deal with people, and people are annoying. So I want to be like that. I think it's pretty hard to manage a fucking Target. But so I don't know the emotions I would be going through because I'm not them. You know what I mean? I didn't know if he had said this before and wasn't supposed to say it out loud. There's so much we don't know that would color the insides of everyone's actions. That's why I'm saying I'm not litigating it. I'm just kind of throwing out a different shades of it. But it's weird to think about when you slow down and you think about all the different variables. You're like, there's no way you could say whose fault it is, really.
Yeah, well, again, people know my thoughts on it. I don't need to go through my whole spiel with it again. I've said what I've said about it, and I said in the little soundbite I sent over for you guys to play for last week's episode.
Yes,
I ain't got nothing else to say until we get new information. Which we have not.
Yeah, but the four of those men, I love them.
Yep, CM same.
CM Punk has given me some of the best memories I've ever had in professional wrestling. The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega have given me some of the best memories I ever had in professional wrestling. Like, I thought with those four in the same company, man, that's just going to be magic. And to me, that first year was pretty fucking amazing. So, the fact is, I've always been on the side. I just want them to work it out. Time to be, you know, put the grown-up pants on and work it out. But maybe there is no working it out because it's the real world that we're dealing with. We'll find out as new information comes out. And I honestly can say, until new information comes out, I am with Austin. Probably won't bring it up anymore.
Yeah, that's really it. You know, we like watching the TV show.
Like, yeah, I love the TV show. And I miss the world. I miss the world of... I missed the life where we just watched the show and just talked about how awesome AEW was every week.
Right, exactly. But either way, we got to get into all of this AEW stuff to talk about as we lead into Grand Slam that will be starting off tonight when you guys are hearing this. And of course, we're going to have a 2-hour rampage for this upcoming Friday for Grand Slam week. But before we get to everything, we need to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. And if you listen to us on Spotify or wherever you listen to us on, you can share us with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. It really means the world. You can also leave a rating and a review. Let us know how we're doing. But you can easily support us by following us on social media. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. At Social Suplex are the guys that make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, Sumowicz. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And the big news of the week, other than the fact that the Detroit Lions are now kings of the NFC North, is the fact that AEW Grand Slam is happening this week. And we've got a lot of excitement. We're going to give our whole preview for Grand Slam week for Dynamite and Rampage. It's going to be a wild week of AEW, I'm sure, with the crowning of a brand new AEW world champion, crowning of a brand new interim women's champion, a brand new All-Atlantic champion, and a brand new tag team champion and Ring of Honor champion. So lots of championships are being held up for grabs, as well as the TBS championship on Rampage. And you're also going to have a golden ticket battle royal as well on Rampage. So tons of stuff we're going to get to.
Absolutely loaded. And TK said he wants this to be one of his, he wants this to be the biggest Dynamite show of the year. He did not hesitate when he said this. He wants this to be the biggest, most important Dynamite of the year. So that's, it seems like how it was booked.
And also too, he also said like he's not prepared to like let the fans down on their hype or anything like that. He said, when have I like trying to like use his past booking as a proof of like, hey, have I let you guys down before when it comes to putting these shows on? Which, I mean, it's pretty hard to point to a show where you've been like, nah, TK fucked up there. Like, overall for a show, he fucked up. So I think Tony Khan is really looking to make a statement with this week's AEW programming. So I'm very excited to see how it goes. But yeah, we'll get into our review, actually, of last week's AEW Dynamite that took place from Albany, New York, which opened with the Grand Slam Tournament of Champions semifinal match between Jon Moxley and Sammy Guevara. Now, Sammy did a good job in this match. There was a lot of great high-flying offense that he had, and also great character work as well between Jon Moxley and Sammy Guevara just fucking with each other. I especially loved as Sammy chops Jon Moxley, and he proceeds to lie down and pose like Sammy Guevara and then get back up and just chop him right in the face. Like, just the biggest, like, fuck you energy. Like, what are you going to do about it? I'm a madman. I'm a wild thing. They did a lot of great work in this match. Of course, every time Sammy gets hit, he goes flying all over the place. Ty Mello and Anna Jay got involved and tried to get the cheap win with a low blow to Moxley, but regardless, Moxley still was able to kick out. And after he was able to just start beating him down, he went for a GTH. It was countered beautifully into a Death Rider, which eventually was able to get the pinfall for Jon Moxley. So Mox, one step closer to being world champion yet again, almost a three-time champion at this point. So Moxley now had to look towards the main event of the show, which would be Jericho and Danielson, to see, are we going to get Jericho Moxley once again? Or are we getting Danielson Moxley once again? But this time, as they are officially BCC members, so it's a little different from the first time when we saw these guys bleed together.
Dude, I really wanted Sammy to win. I mean, I figured Mox was going to win. I was almost 100% sure Mox was going to win. But, you know, in wrestling, sometimes I just like, man, you got this situation where it's a pillar. Sammy's kind of been, you know, the fans kind of turning on Sammy. You know, they loved him and now they hate him. And then not because he's a heel, because of some life decisions he's made.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've turned on him. And it's just like, dude, give him a big win here, you know, and let Mox go on vacation. But Mox is a smart play. Mox makes for the bigger match. Mox is everything. He was a smart play in this case. I mean, so I was like, oh, okay, so Mox wins this one. Jericho beats Danielson. So that's how my brain was working. But yeah, we will see how that goes later. But I really did enjoy the match. Thought it was a good contrast of styles. Loved how Mox was able to take the springboard cutter. He took it. Looked really good when he took it. And the GTH into the paradigm shift, or what's it called? Yeah, it's called a paradigm shift.
Yeah, it's Death Rider. Yeah.
I think when you elevate it, it's the Death Rider. When it's not elevated, it's the paradigm shift. But whatever move you're calling it, he hits it. That was a great transition and reversal there. A great way to end the match. I overall enjoyed this match a lot. Actually, it was my favorite match of the night, honestly.
Honestly, yeah, I would say so. Just the way that they worked each other, and like I said, the way Moxley bounced off of Sammy with his attitude in the ring. I thought just the way they worked was a lot of good stuff. So yeah, this was definitely my favorite match as well. We then had MJF out on the microphone, as everybody loves, and you're in New York, and this man's still getting mega popular. MJF is doing everything in his possibility to make sure that he shits on the fans every chance he gets, because he is not going to be the guy that just gets cheered nonstop. He is refusing He refuses what you say. And he talked about how, listen, Moxley, 7 days, you just won this match. But, like, I haven't slept a week since we came toe-to-toe last week because I saw that you had the look of a man with no fear. And that pisses me off because you must have me confused with somebody else. It's like it's not the same kid who is standing in front of a standing behind a podium and doing all these MJF 2020 things. Like, I'm not that same kid. I'm not playing a character, John, but you are, because you're a joke. And of course, he immediately dives into Moxley's autobiography, which I have not yet read yet. I've been in the middle of reading my good friend Justin Henry. He did a book with one man, James Dixon, and he did a book called Titan Screwed. And it was back when What Culture still had all the main guys there. But basically, it covers WWF, WCW, ECW, the whole 1997 era of wrestling. That whole thing. So Titan Screwed. It's a really good book. I'm early into it, but you should definitely read it. Shout out to my friend Justin Henry. I love that guy. Even though his Eagles beat me week one and I hate him for it. But he, of course, brings up Jon Moxley's book and he says, like, I love the part when he talked about your childhood. You were raised just the same way as these people here. Uneducated, poor, white trash from the sticks. And, like, you got bullied a lot, didn't you, John? It's like, now when stuff happens like that, it forces men to put up a front. People might buy it. These people buy it, but I don't. And deep down, you're still that scared little boy from the slums of Cincinnati. But you kicked the habit. You know what? You slayed your demons, defeated your disease. But my brain is far more dangerous than your disease because bad things happen when people get in my way. So he said, listen, you take that vacation you were planning. How about that? Because make no mistake, that title is mine. And when you came back from your rehab, you talked about a demon that hung over your head. But John, if you don't tread lightly, you will learn that I am that demon, and I am a demon you can't slay. And that's when MJF immediately brought out a young group of gentlemen that helped him get that ship in that ladder match, which was the first stable on retainer led by a man I've known since I was 19, Stokely Hathaway and The Firm, which then led out to basically MJF leaving as he just was done for the night and then left Stokely Hathaway in the ring to cut his promo talking about The Firm, another brand new faction that featured, we go through everybody in The Firm. Like, did they even have everybody listed down here in The Firm? Well, basically, the Ass Boys, Morrissey, else?
He went in order. It was Morrissey. He just wants to do whatever he wants to do. Then it was Moriarty. He wanted the pure title.
The Ass Boys and Ethan Page.
Yeah, they want the tag belts. Ethan Page wants the All Atlantic title.
Yes. So he basically ran through everybody in The Firm and basically said how we're on retainer. So, like, when MJF needs us, we're here. When we're not needed by MJF, we go our separate ways and do our own things. And that's all good and dandy. I kind of thought this promo, honestly, like, went a bit too long. I get why MJF introduced them and it continued onward like that. But this was a long segment. This was a long promo with a lot of talking. Like, I honestly could have done with these two promos being separated, honestly, because I love Stokely Hathaway on the mic. He does really good work on the mic, but he was going on and on and on and describing everybody in The Firm and giving everybody their little spot. I will say, him hugging Morrissey while he was just stone-faced was fucking hysterical. That was my favorite thing in the entire segment. But I think these two could have been separated because it just kind of felt long and elongated, and it kind of did a little bit of damage to The Firm's opening segment because, you know, you're following up MJF, which I get it. That's why The Firm is being involved with MJF, but I could have used for, like, you know what? This could have been a separate backstage segment. This could have been a separate in-ring promo. It could have been anything. This could have just been put down the line, honestly, I feel like, because that's just how I feel, I think.
I thought it was really good, but I felt like it brought the show to a halt.
Yes.
I thought, like, the momentum for the first match was completely zapped away by this 20-minute talking segment. And I don't think the show actually really recovered from it. There was this general malaise for the over this episode of Dynamite. And, yeah, I didn't, you know, I think it was well done. I think it needed to happen. It said, because you're like, why was the hodgepodge of men brought together? And everybody says Dynamite doesn't explain stuff. So they really went out of their way to say, this is why this faction's coming. And I do think it's going to be a multi-show faction. It's going to be an AEW and ROH faction. And I love that that he said that they're going to go their separate ways when they're not, you know, when they're not together. And it's, and it was done, and it really needed to happen. But yes, if you're looking at it like macro, it needed to happen. It's like, you don't have to worry about any, all of those people can go into their next feuds, and you don't have to be like, well, why'd they go after this and why'd they go after that? It's always set up for all the next chapters. But micro, it kind of killed the momentum of the show. So I agree with you, but I do think it was a necessary evil.
Yes. No, absolutely. I genuinely do think that this was for sure needed. I think it would have been so much harder to explain this faction if you didn't just get out there and do it as soon as you could. But yeah, they could have just done like a break or something in between this, because it just brought the show to a halt. But basically, we move now over to the Jungle Boy Jack Perry open contract match between Jungle Boy and Jay Lethal. And it was an open contract match basically from Jungle Boy, which Jay Lethal answered earlier in the day. And these guys did a solid match, honestly. I thought it was a good little match. And it was nearly a nice little moment where Jungle Boy almost countered the Lethal Injection with the kill switch, which was a really, really nice little moment where he was actually going to use the kill switch. Jungle Boy was able to stop a pump kick and put on the snare trap, but then Sanjay Dutt gets in the ring and distracts Jungle Boy. Jay Lethal then grabs Jungle Boy, but he escapes, puts him in the snare trap again. Lethal taps Jungle Boy with another big win. I think this was a good match, honestly. I think these two are good, really good wrestlers. Jay Lethal is obviously that guy who they throw in there where it's like, you need somebody to put a great, like, 5 to 10 minute match on, or even longer necessarily. You put them in the ring with Jay Lethal, good things will happen. And Jungle Boy is continuing to grow as one of their top young up-and-coming singles wrestlers. And yeah, this was a good little match, and I thought it did what it needed to do. We're still, of course, in the waiting period until Christian Cage is able to be healed up, because I think they're definitely dealing with the fact that Christian is hurt from not being able to wrestle a long match against Jungle Boy. So they definitely wish Christian was still here, for sure.
Well, so I'm going to – the match was fine. It was. It was good. It's what you can always count on Jay Lethal for. But I am going to give a shout-out to Mr. TK for learning his lesson. He did the open contract, and I think 6 months ago they would have waited until it came out, and everybody would have got on the line and speculated, and they would have said Bray Wyatt, and they would have said all these other WWE guys or New Japan guys, and got their hopes well weighed up, and then Jay Lethal would have came out, and everybody would be like, oh, Jay Lethal, that's it? Boo. They announced it before the show. There was no anticipation. There was no time for the world to overinflate their guess and then get disappointed. And I thought that was genius. I have been thinking about this all week. I was like, when I talk about this match, I'm going to make sure I give a shout out to TK. I don't even know if he's ever listened to the show or know it exists. But man, that was great. That was me watching AEW learn and grow as they continue.
Absolutely. It was a great move on their part. So I'm glad that they didn't make that mistake.
I've just seen them do it like quite a few times where it's like, oh, it's this mystery guy. And then it's just somebody in the back and everybody's like, well, you lied to us. No, I never said
it. You got your hopes up.
I never said it was going to be. Kazuchika Okada. I just said it was going to be a guy, and the person didn't know who it was. And you elevated your mind, but he stopped it. He said, I'm not going to let you build up your hopes and get disappointed. You're getting good old reliable Jay Lethal. He's a reliable L. You know what I mean? I he's going to put on a great match. He's going to look like he can win, and then he's going to lose. And that's what he did, and you know, it works. You know, it works. I'm not even saying anything bad about it. I mean, that's his role in the company, but it's just like, I like that no one, that he didn't even give time to get their hopes up.
Absolutely. We had a little highlight package for Hook and Action Bronson, who will be wrestling on Rampage Grand Slam. Seeing Action Bronson in the ring is such a weird feeling, but I'm excited to see actually how he does, because I love me some Action Bronson.
Dude, so it's weird. Like, this person that has never watched, I can't say never watched AEW, but only recently watched AEW, say, why does he look like a fat Bray Wyatt?
Yep.
And I was like, once he said it, I could not see it. I was like, I see it.
No, I know. I've seen the, Dad, can we have Bray Wyatt? We have Bray Wyatt at home.
Yes. So it was like, I saw that and someone said it to me. I was like, no, Action Bronson doesn't look like, stop mid-sense. He kind of does. He looks like bald Bray Wyatt. No, but I am looking forward to this because he seems to respect wrestling, which is a big thing with me with celebrity guests. And he looks like a tough dude. He looks like a tough New Yorker. He looks like he busts that ass.
Yeah, no, he genuinely does. And I'm excited to see him wrestle for sure. And then we had the weirdest cameo of the night, which was when Ethan Page interrupted. Oh, God. What the fuck is his name again?
Sorry, I got a dog visiting, and I had to talk to it.
Good.
We found a dog Saturday night, and we took it in. Been taking care of it, so not used to having a dog, so there you go. Yes, I had no idea who the freak that dude was.
Oh, I knew who he was. I forgot his name big time.
Luigi. And I was like, this was the moment that I felt really, really fucking old. Because it felt like everybody on my fucking TL knew who this man was. And I was like, okay, he just kicked the dude in the face. I literally ignored it. And everybody was busting like, oh my God, Tony Khan's a genius. Oh my God, Tony Khan's... I was like, what are y'all talking about? And somebody finally... I saw somebody share the clip and I was like, oh, it's the guy. Okay. But I felt so old. I mean, literally. I'm like, I felt 80. I felt like somebody was trying to teach me how to use the iPhone, because I literally had no idea who this man was. I am social media active.
Oh,
somehow
yeah.
Somehow missed this whole thing.
Luigi Primo. That was, he Luigi. Just got kicked in the fucking face by Ethan Page in seconds. Guy. When I saw that, I was like, because when I heard... whatever his name is that does the backstage interviews, I've never been a fan of him.
Was it Alex?
Alex Marvez. I've never been a fan of him, but that's just me because I'm a stickler for commentary and backstage reporting. But like,
dude, so, there's this guy I listen to named Joe Lanza who calls him "Stealing Money Marvez."
that's really mean. That's really mean. That's
like, he goes the way he says, he doesn't do anything, and you know, the backstage interview thing is really all he does. So he calls him "Stealing Money Marvez."
There you go. I mean, look, man, get that work. But like, yeah, when he was talking about pizza, I'm like, what the fuck is Marvez doing? And then I see Luigi Primo, and I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, he got kicked in the face. What? I was just like, I don't know what I'm watching right now, but I think it's great. But it's just like, oh my God. Like, I literally am just like fried watching that. And then Danhausen's in the background, and then that's when they challenged him to a match at Rampage. And I was just like, whoo, buddy, okay, that was a bunch of shit. And I know a bunch of people were going to hate that, but it was cool to see. It genuinely was cool to see. But man, it came at you like a bullet where it's just like, is that fucking Luigi Primo from TikTok? Oh, he got kicked in the face by Ethan Page. And now, oh, there's Danhausen. I'm just like, holy shit, this little backstage segment came at you like a speeding truck.
Yes. And yeah, like I said, I talked to JR while I watched the show, like every week. It's like we pretty much watched the show together. And we both just kind of no-sold that whole segment. We was like, oh, some guy got kicked in the face. And now Ethan Page is going to beat up Danhausen for not being serious. And then I found out that guy was a wrestler like later. And it was just like, oh, God, I'm old.
Yep. Yes, you are. We then had another backstage little video package of Darby Allin being challenged by Matt Hardy to a match on Rampage. We actually got a little bit of reports coming out that Jeff Hardy is nearly finished with his rehab program, and he could be returning to AEW very soon. I'm glad to hear at least that things are looking positive with Jeff Hardy possibly returning to AEW, because, you know, we want to see him on the up and up in that regard. Because I'm glad to hear that, you know, but also, like, again, if it's better for Jeff to stay home and just, like, stay home and stuff like that, then that's fine with me too. But if he's able to do wrestling, like, let's go.
I am not a mean person. I definitely not a mean spirited person. If I never see Jeff Hardy wrestle again, I'm fine. I just, like, I feel like there's a lot of talent and young talent on the roster that you can focus on, and I think Jeff Hardy can take care of his health. This has nothing to do with his substance abuse. I wish him 110%. He gets all my heart, because Jeff Hardy has entertained me most of my adult life. So I am going to say that. I love Jeff Hardy. But it just gets to a point where it's just like, this seems to be bad for you. You know?
Maybe. Well, it's just like, again, you seem to have cycles.
Yeah, so it's just like, yeah, so it just seems like, hey, do your thing. Take care of yourself. Go treat yourself first. If wrestling is what helps keep you sober, keep doing it. But it's just like, when it comes to wrestling, just wrestling, yeah, I've probably seen Jeff Hardy enough. I don't think there's any dream matches I have left for Jeff Hardy or dream angles for him. It's just, I'm good. But he's the perpetual babyface. When he comes out there and that music hits and he does his thing and thrusts his hips, the crowd's going to go crazy. And you're going to think like God walked through that door, because Jeff Hardy is an automatic pop no matter what. So I can see why you lose him. I can see that, but it's just like.
Yeah. Well, look, like I said, if he's able to do it and like that's. They're able to do it, because I don't think they used Jeff in a way that was taking away a spot from a younger guy. But either way, it's like, if he's able to do it while staying on the straight and narrow, great. But if honestly, if his health is that, like, still a concern, which I think it probably still is, like, it's probably best for Jeff. Like, you know, you've done enough, man. We appreciate everything you've done. But, like, if that's not my decision to make. So I'm not.
No. Like I said, I was just talking from my personal experience. I'm like, Jeff Hardy's never going to keep me from going to the show. But it's just like, I've seen a lot of Jeff Hardy in my life. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. So that's where we're at.
We then had a squash match for Powerhouse Hobbs to get a big win as he beat Matt DiMartino pinned him right away. And Hobbs got on the microphone, cut a promo saying how he beat Ricky Starks. He's like, look, Ricky Starks got tough. I spent 21 months in the trenches with him, and we were grinding. But at All Out, it took me 4 minutes and 35 seconds to beat him. So look, that chapter's closed. Time to open a new chapter in the book of Hobbs, and it starts tonight. And that's when Ricky Starks flies down the steps of the arena, out of the crowd, jumps in the ring, and starts beating up on Hobbs. But then he hit Hobbs with the microphone, getting a little bit of revenge. And it was funny too, because Hobbs, like, but while he was cutting his promo, already had blood coming from his mouth, which I thought was quite funny.
It's such a tough image, you know. Yeah. And it's like, it's even tougher when you know it's like real blood, and it's like, how are you bleeding? That match lasted 12 seconds.
Yeah. But also too, I will say, I know this is the proclivity of positivity, but I gotta say, Hobbs, I need a little bit more from you on the promo side of things, because...
No, you know, let me tell you about Hobbs. He is one of those people that is calling for a manager. I just think, you know, you saw Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman, where he just stood back there, kind of danced around and flexed while the other person talked. I'm not saying he needed a manager because he can't talk. I think he needs a manager because he comes off more intimidating if he doesn't talk.
Right. You know what I mean? Because I'm telling you right now, man, it's kind of a mean thing. But when he said opening a new chapter in the Book of Hobbs, I'm just like, this is the Hall of Pain. You're doing the Hall of Pain shit. Like, that's what you know, you sound like when you're doing this.
It's so funny because I heard that, like, a lot of people. You know, a book, you know, you're doing it. I was like, I never even got that. I was just like, I never pulled.
Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
No, Mark Henry's in the back. It makes sense. But, and he's a big old buff black dude. I mean, come on. It really does make sense in a lot of ways, but it's just my brain never went there. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh man, Hobbs looks really intimidating, but I have been on this. I've been on this since they broke up, that he needs his own little personal manager. I wouldn't want to use, you know, I wouldn't want to use someone like, I wouldn't want to use like, you know, what's his name? Stokely Hathaway or anybody like that that has a faction. I want someone that is just focused on Hobbs. Dude, if Mark Henry could, you know, really talk better, that'd be a perfect manager. Just because, you know, he's like, I can teach you the ways of the Hall of Pain or kind of thing. But I could even see like someone like Vicky Guerrero or something like that. I just think him just standing there while the other person talks, just and casting a shadow over the person that's smaller than him, it's much more intimidating than when he cuts promos.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think that's absolutely the case for that regard. But we moved on to the AEW World Tag Team title match between the Lucha Bros and Swerve in Our Glory. And this was a solid match, I thought. But again, I found it kind of weird that this match was happening because, you know, I love the Lucha Bros, but it just seemed like this match came out of nowhere. And I was just like, wow, we're just on a straight up random Dynamite, Swerve and Our Glory is defending their title against the Lucha Bros. I'm like, okay, fair enough. And they did a good match because, I mean, everyone in this match is really fucking good. Regardless, though, Keith Lee was able to get the pinfall on Penta after he just completely took a goddamn Canadian destroyer. Keith Lee took a Canadian destroyer. It's fucking insane. It's just wild, that whole thing. And look, I like the fact that Keith Lee got the pinfall victory. He got the win. He won their titles back because I know there's already looks of like, you know, Swerve will be the guy that turns heel and then Keith Lee will separate from them if they actually end up having what happened after the match be the case. The Acclaimed comes out immediately and said, Swerve, Max said, Swerve, if you ever interrupt my rap again, you're going to have to answer for it. And they said, listen, we're going for those AEW World Tag Team Championships next week because everybody loves the Acclaimed. And this is the moment where they're going to make the Arthur Ashe Stadium come unglued. They're going to have the Acclaimed win the tag team titles. And I think that's where you start to see Swerve and Our Glory break apart. And then you get two big singles competitors immediately because Swerve, huge heel that you can use like so well. And then Keith Lee, I mean, bro, if you ever needed an AEW world title contender, there you fucking go. Like, Keith Lee could absolutely be AEW world champion. I say that with no hesitation because that man is so fucking good. So I'm very excited for this week when we get that tag title match because I think the Acclaimed will truly have their moment in the sun. And I think it's going to be a wonderful moment. And I have to say this too, because I know a lot of people were talking about how awesome it is when they cut to the crowd and everyone's doing the scissor motion. Can we say how cool it is that an openly gay wrestler is having like that kind of reaction with Anthony Bowens being in this team and having that chant and all the scissor motions that people are doing in the crowd, and they're all behind it, and everyone's supporting it, and they love it. It's like, and you have an openly gay wrestler, and Bowens has talked in interviews like, I want to be AEW's first openly gay openly gay champion. I mean, because you had Nyla, who was transgender, and now you have Anthony Bowens, who is gay, and like, I think that's a really fucking cool thing if that's the motion we're going for. So even if they don't win the titles, which I do think they're winning the titles, it's still really cool to have like the AEW audience that have completely jumped on the corner of the Acclaimed, and they love the Acclaimed, and it's really cool to see. It's genuinely really cool to see homegrown AEW talent still getting over like gangbusters despite the massive amount of superstars that they have on the roster.
Big thing with Bowens to me is that he's a great wrestler, and he's a great character. He has a lot of energy. He's charismatic. A lot of people would say he's the better wrestler of the group. There's so much more to like about him, and he is gay also. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's the big thing about it. It's just that it's not, we like you, country. No, you're fucking talented. And you're gay. You know what I mean? It's just...
No, and that's the thing. It's like, you don't even think about it.
Yeah, I don't even think about it with Anthony Bowens. Because I don't think about... Generally, when I'm watching wrestling, I don't think about, most of the time, who they're in a relationship with, all that kind of stuff. I'm just watching the show. And with him, it's just such a natural thing. And I love Keith Lee. It was like, Keith Lee, I always say how Keith Lee is as far as being cool, and how he talks, and how nothing seems to bother him a lot. I always say Keith Lee is like who I want to be when I grow up, okay, kind of thing. Because he's just like this cool man that doesn't even try to be cool. And then, of course, Swerve is just like larger than life without even trying to be. So I love that team, and they're going to be great no matter what. Maybe Swerve, you know, but the claim is so hot. And it just feels like it's in New York. I think they're both from New York, if I'm 100%, not 100% sure. I know Max Caster is from New York, but I think Anthony Bowens is from New York. I'm actually kind of Googling it right now, and it's just like, they're so hot right now. The crowd loves them so much. Oh, it's from New Jersey. Okay, you go with
close
it.
Close enough.
You go with it. You go with it. Even if you want to give them the belt back, like, at Full Gear. Like, you want them to go back in, Swerve in Our Glory, and lose at Full Gear, or whatever you want to do. You have to go with the Acclaimed right now. It's too hot. It's a no-brainer. But I do, yeah. That's what I'm like. It's not saying anything about the current champions. I mean, none of them are as good as FTR, but they're all really good. You know what I mean? And I hope everybody notices this. Because people like to hate on Dax and Cash because, you know, they're the best tag team in the world. They do that thing or whatever. But I don't know if you've noticed, anyone's noticed over the last 2 or 3 weeks, all they've been doing is putting over the current tag team, people that are currently featured in the tag team in AEW, saying that Swerve and Our Glory is going to kill it. The Acclaimed, even in interviews, have been cutting and talking about all the great talents of tag teams in AEW. So don't act like they just care about themselves. Just throwing that out there. But yes, I'm really looking forward to this.
All right. And I as well. And we had backstage interview with Death Triangle, basically trying to get a word with them after the Lucha Bros didn't win the tag titles. And
did you see how upset they looked? That was kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that Pac got mad at Marvez for the way that he talked about them and how they were upset or whatnot and about them not winning those titles. But like, listen, remember, we are the Trios champions right now. And he was talking, and then Pac gets decked by Orange Cassidy. He sold that punch so hard. It was so funny, because like, that just looked very ridiculous, but I loved how he sold that. But he told Pac, though, he's like, you're not going to be a double champion for long. And teased for what we're getting tonight when you guys listen to this. So I'm, again, very excited for that. We then had a tag match between the four competitors in the AEW Interim Women's Championship match that's taking place on Dynamite Grand Slam. Toni Storm and Athena facing off against Serena Deeb and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. This was a decent match, I felt like. You know, it was a nice little way to tease the show for the week after. And we got a continuing growing of Jamie Hayter starting to get away from Britt Baker DMD, because what ended up happening was Rebel distracted the referee and Britt Baker held up a steel chair, and they were proceeding to get a steel chair held up. Deeb ran Storm into the steel chair and Serena Deeb got the pinfall to win, and for the heels to win. And then they started beating up on Athena, then knocked out Serena Deeb. Dr. Britt Baker then drove Athena's head into the chair, into the mat with a curb stomp. Jamie Hayter then ran into the ring to beat up Athena with the steel chair. And Britt Baker was like, "Listen, I said I was sorry about what happened before." And Jamie Hayter was like, "I don't give a fuck." Like, no. And walked off. So I thought this did its job. I know we're all waiting for when Jamie Hayter gets away from Britt Baker and starts really pushing herself as a babyface competitor, because I know a lot of people have already kind of jumped on Jamie Hayter's side of like, yeah, we want to see her. But yeah, I thought this was a nice little semi-main and gives a decent tease for the title match that's taking place on Grand Slam. And yeah, I thought this was fine.
Jamie Hayter's pretty hot right now. Everybody seems to be really behind her and what she's going to be doing moving forward. So I'm actually very excited to see where that's going. And I love the little twist there. She didn't hit Britt Baker and she's not ready to fight Britt Baker. She just doesn't want to talk to Britt Baker right now. They're friends that have problems. It reminds me a lot of Keith Lee and Swerve after, you know, Swerve kind of screwed him over.
Yeah, it does remind me that as well. But now we can move into the main event of AEW Dynamite from last week, which is the second semifinal match in the Grand Slam Tournament of Champions. Jericho versus the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, and pure champion himself, Daniel Garcia, was watching this match backstage. And these guys were just, again, they were giving each other a ton of, like, just offense. Cattle mutilation from Bryan Danielson, then got the hammer and elbows at one point. Jericho was then able to get a shot at Danielson's temple, and then Danielson then came out of nowhere with a running knee, and they were just beating each other up and just chopping at Danielson's leg. He was working on a knee breaker at one point, but Danielson then fought back onto one leg. There was one moment that I loved especially, which was when Bryan Danielson was getting hammer and elbowed by Jericho, and he starts just working himself back up as he's staring at the AEW World Championship down at ringside, and he's just staring at it while he wills himself back to his feet, getting elbowed by Jericho and hulking up. And I was just like, that's a great shot. You know, like a lot of times AEW gets called out where it's like, you know what, WWE still has the best camera work in terms of not always with the whole fucking jerky camera every time a punch is hit or whatever, but like in terms of like the storyline shots that you use in video packages, you know, WWE is still kind of the kings when it comes to that. But this was my favorite like shot of like the night. I loved this whole thing that they did with that regard. And as Danielson still kept fighting with one leg, pretty much, he eventually was still able to get out of the figure four at one point, transition it into the lapel lock. Jericho taps out. So we get the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley, BCC versus BCC, for the AEW World Championship. I think this is going to be amazing. And if I have to say, just to get my predictions out of the way first, I loved me some Jon Moxley, but I think it's time for a Bryan Danielson World Champion. If people were want, like, listen, CM Punk goes away, who is the champion after he left? Bryan Danielson. I'm just saying. It's kind of serendipitous about how that man changes wrestling once CM Punk leaves and just becomes the biggest thing in pro wrestling. I think it's absolutely, it just seems really cool. It would be a really cool thing. It's like, once again, CM Punk fucks off and then Bryan Danielson is there to be like, "Hey guys, I'm the best at wrestling." And everyone's like, "Yes, you are."
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I think is going to happen. If you want to get your company right and you want to be considered, you know, one of the best wrestling products in the world, having one of, if not the best wrestler in the world, doesn't hurt. And suspension be damned. They owe me a Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson match with the
yes.
winner. They owe me that. I am owed that match. And MJF versus Bryan Danielson, wherever it happens, I'm down for that.
Sure.
Yeah, because most people forget MJF can go. That man can go. So, I'm all about that.
Yeah, so that was AEW Dynamite from last week. We're going to move quickly over to Rampage, which took place from Albany, New York. Show opened with Darby Allin versus Matt Hardy. You know, these guys did a really good job opening up the show. Just Darby was able to just, like, get some offense on there. But there was a point where he tried to do a senton onto the apron, but Hardy got out of the way, and he just fucking slams into the apron. Like, god damn. This is a good opening match. Afterwards, though, the lights went dark, and when they came back on, Brody King and Julia Hart were in the ring after Darby got the win after getting the Last Supper. And Brody knocks out Hardy, and then he called for Darby and Sting to come out to the ring. They did, and that's when Brody King challenged Darby and Sting to a match against the House of Black in a no DQ match, and it was accepted. Now, that's going to be with Buddy Matthews, because as we saw on Instagram, Malakai Black has said he's taking a step away from pro wrestling, and he did ask for his release from AEW. So it looks like we may be seeing the last of Malakai Black in AEW, which is a shame. I thought he did really good work, but it seems like he wants to take a step back right now, and seems like the leaking of stuff is starting to bother him, and he's had a lot of really shitty things happen in a long span that is kind of like, you know, even when things were going well in AEW for him, you know, you couldn't really celebrate it almost. So I feel for the guy. I love Malakai Black. I think he's great. And I think, you know what, wherever he decides to go, and it seems like right now the prevailing rumor is that he'll go back to WWE, makes a lot of sense. Regardless, I hope he gets right and he can come back to wrestling, because, I mean, that guy's a talent for sure.
Yeah, and big thing with me is, and I don't want it to be like, I think there are enough people that want to wrestle for AEW that you don't need to keep people that don't want to wrestle for AEW. And I know there's a lot going on with him, but the prevailing theory is he just wants to go back to WWE, which is fine. You know, if that's what you want to do, absolutely. I am rooting for you, because my thing is I want everyone to be happy. You know, that is a big thing for me, is that the pursuit and the maintaining of happiness. And I know it cannot have made him happy that he was working in a separate company from his wife. As to, you know, he met her in WWE. They had been in WWE. They had worked together in WWE. That all has to come, you know, that all has to come to a head at some point. So, shout out to Mr. Black, because he's Black. His last name's Black, no matter where he's at. I wish him the best in life and going forward. If he ever finds his way back to AEW, I would be super excited to have him again. But if he finds himself happier in WWE, congrats on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish nothing but the best for him. We then had an in-ring moment with the Ring of Honor World Champion Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta being interviewed by Tony Schiavone. He talked about how this Ring of Honor Championship, Claudio, it represents honor. And look, the Blackpool Combat Club is the new symbol of excellence. It's a team, family. We make each other better. But the best lessons in life is that when you lose, those are when you learn the best lessons in life. And Wheeler Yuta is going to get back up and win his pure championship. And he also said, I defended my championship against one of my toughest opponents ever, Dax Harwood. And it's going to be two members of the Blackpool Combat Club against each other this Wednesday for the AEW World Championship. And then Chris Jericho was like, have you forgotten about the JAS? And he's like, listen, I've been watching you week in, week out, and I'm a 7-time world champion, and I should be competing for the AEW World Championship, not because I tapped out. And Claudio was like, yes, you tapped out. He's like, I've been a champion in WWF, WWE, WCW, and the first AEW World Champion. But one place I've never been champion is in Ring of Honor. And seven isn't enough. I'm going for the Ocho. And I challenge you for the Ring of Honor World Championship at Grand Slam. And Claudio goes, Chris, I've been waiting for this moment a long, long time. So you're on, but I'm going to beat the hell out of you. And you know what? That great little moment of Jericho just saying all those companies that he's held world titles in, and then just goes, never held a world title in Ring of Honor. It just immediately is a great opening for a build for a title match that you've only announced like a few days before the show. And Jericho Claudio for the ROH title, that has already got a chance to really do a ton of good work for that show. I mean, again, huge addition to the show. I think it did a great job of bringing that in there. I thought this was a really good announcement, and the way they did it was good. I thought this was a great, well done segment.
Yes. And and it added intrigue to the match. It added a believability, because with them building ROH, you could 100%, and the JS has taken a lot of losses lately, you could 100% see Chris Jericho as the new ROH champion. It elevates the title automatically. It elevates the brand automatically. It almost seems like a no-brainer that he should win.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I love Claudio. Him being Ring of Honor World and champion is great. But also, it just seems like it'd be a crazy thing for Chris Jericho to be champion of Ring of Honor, and then as they get towards like putting Ring of Honor and getting weekly television for that show back, Jericho being like the evil king of Ring of Honor, just like a WWE guy who absolutely is like being like, fuck these Ring of Honor guys, I'm the champion, you got to take this title from me, like, it's not a bad shout. I mean, that's kind of what he did with AEW, and it worked really fucking good.
Yeah, it does, it works really well. So, yeah, I'm looking at later this year. I don't know. I know they did Death Before Dishonor. I don't know what the next ROH pay-per-view is, but generally it ends with Final Battle, and Final Battle is usually somewhere in New York. So Chris Jericho main eventing your ROH pay-per-view, I don't think you can go wrong with that.
No, I don't think so either. I think that could be a really good match for that pay-per-view if they end up doing it. But we'll have to see what they end up doing. But either way, we then had we had a backstage segment with Jade Cargill and the Baddies, which was then interrupted by Diamante, who was like, if you want a competition, all you had to do was ask. Next week in New York, I'm going to pull up, and she's showing up with the baddest bitch from the 305. And that was a bit of a challenge that was made, and that means that on Rampage, the two-hour show that we're getting, it's going to be Jade Cargill Diamante for the TBS title.
I have no idea who this baddest bitch from the 305 is.
I don't know either, but I will say, I did want to mention too, because this was announced too about from Wrestling Observer, I believe it was, how special guest announcer that they're going to have for Grand Slam is fucking DJ Who Kid? Like, AEW is hip-hop at this point. Like, I swear to God, AEW is hip-hop, because you got fucking Action Bronson, you had Kevin Gates, now you got DJ Who Kid, and bro, it's like this, it's fucking crazy. Like, AEW, like, I'm gonna look up all these other people that they've had show up before, because I know they announced a hip-hop album a little while ago, actually for February, this upcoming year. But I was going to say, man, they've got so many people that have popped up into AEW that are from the hip-hop community, and I'm just like, man, now we got DJ Who Kid? And I don't know who this person is that Diamante's mentioning either, but regardless, I am very much, very much excited for that. Yeah, they got West Side Gunn. I was like, what the fuck? Why is West Side Gunn here?
Hey, you know what's funny? Because I was listening to Swerve on Renee Young's podcast, and he was like, you know, people be like, why is that person here? Or why do they have that person? And he made it simple. if you're asking why, then it wasn't for you. It's no. for new people. Like, for me, I wouldn't be able to pick DJ Who Kid out of a lineup. I'm like, literally. It could be you, and two other people, and you'd be like, which one's DJ Who Kid? And I'm like, I know it's not Austin. That's about it. I mean, literally. Not, you know, I don't care, you know, but to... There's someone out there. There is this diverse group of people that, you know, really care about hip hop. I mean, really care about music. That him being on the show is going to make the show so much better to them. And it's just like, I'm excited for that. I am excited. I'm excited that you got excited, you know, because I want everyone to enjoy wrestling. So I'm never going to be like, I don't know who that is, so that sucks. No, I don't know who it is, so you know who it is. Like Action Bronson. Can't name Action Bronson song. He does look like a tough white dude. I've actually known Action Bronson because he's done stuff with like cooking, you know? I know yeah. more as that than I do as a rapper.
Fair enough. Yeah, I know he's done that before. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's pretty dope. Like him. So I was like, oh, Action yeah. Bronson's going to be on there. I like, he's more, I watch more Food Network than I probably listen to hip hop.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I get it, dude. But like, that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, I don't know what the hell.
Apparently, Swerve is the person that has all these contacts inside.
Oh, I absolutely believe it. Yeah,
he gets the people out there. I saw today a picture with him and DJ Who Kid, and it's just like, hey, make it happen. So, you know,
absolutely.
I'm happy. I like.
All I know is if she says the baddest bitch from the 305. When I hear 305, I think Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull. So if we get Pitbull on AEW,
oh god, yes, I will roll my eyes so hard.
you don't want to hear Greenlight, that WrestleMania theme.
I've been to many events and I never.
I never consider
myself wasting money because I think the event, the experience. Having that experience is wasted. It is makes no money ever wasted. One of the few times where I say I wasted my money is when I went to saw Pitbull in Las Vegas.
Man.
It was just like everything was, it just felt the same. So after the third song, I was like, is this almost over yet? And it went like another hour. And yeah, it was actual torture. It was actual torture. I'm just saying, if you ever want to get information out of me, tie me down and just play Pitbull for an hour. I will tell you whatever you want to know.
Kudo.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't stand it. No, it was just like his beats are very similar.
He has some of the most like on the nose fucking samples, like when he sampled Take On Me with the Feel This Moment with Christina Aguilera, where it's like when you literally get to the drop, it's like, and I'm like, you are not sampling Take On Me. I'm like, stop it. What are you doing?
Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide, Mr. 305. He says that like 150,000
times
in his concert. I was ready to stab myself. I really was. I was ready to injure myself. So I would have a
really
early. So no.
Hey man, I'll pop if he shows up. I'll just say that.
You know what? And it's for you. It's for you. As long as he doesn't perform, I'll be great.
No, that's the then you're wasting your time.
Yeah, no, I had to actually, he was at WrestleMania 33.
I know.
He performed at WrestleMania 33. So the next day, I just get to tell the story. I went to Denny's, right? And he's like, dude, you know, some kind of employee thing. Denny's gave us tickets to the WrestleMania, as he put it. And of course, I love new fans. And I'm like, hey, so what was your favorite part of the show? He said, dude, you know what my favorite part of the show was? He's like, when Pitbull performed. And I just like took, I was like, I asked him. He gave me an answer. That's his answer. Because it took everything in my eye not to roll my eyes as hard as I possibly can and be like, oh my God, you just broke my heart. Because, you know, the Hardys came back that night, you know?
Yeah, I know. I know. It was a huge moment. Cena got engaged that night.
It's such a huge moment. But you said your favorite part was Pitbull. And I was like, you know what? That's why. And then I twisted it. I put my positive spin on it. That's why the WWE does that stuff. He's who they do it for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, I was like, but really, I wanted to be like, you're a terrible person. Get away from me. And I'm not going to tip you. But I did tip.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he did. I don't think he deserved it, but he did get a tip.
Well, all right. Well, either way, we move on to Willow Nightingale against Penelope Ford with Kip Sabian by her side. So it was cool to see Penelope Ford with Kip Sabian. So I was very, very happy to see that at least. And this was fine. You know, it was a match, and Penelope Ford got the win with the Indian Deathlock. It's always nice to still see Willow Nightingale get used on AEW.
Makes me happy anytime she's on my TV.
Yeah.
That's Floyd's wheelhouse for anybody that wants to know. Willow.
Right.
Nightingale. Love her. Heart.
We then had the Danhausen All Ego Ethan Page match, and Danhausen was mocking him, but then he was immediately pinned after hitting a shoulder tackle and hitting the Ego's Edge. So the Firm got their first win with Danhausen getting beat, and poor guy, you know, you wish for something better for him, but you know, like, they've used him exactly how you want. He's still so over, even though he never wins. You know, he is the cheeseburger of AEW.
Danhausen is perfectly booked.
Yes.
Perfectly booked. I mean, I don't say that very often because I think perfect is overused, but he is perfectly booked for his character. Like, he's there. He makes you laugh. He has these insanely funny moments and special moments. Some of his comebacks, like when Ethan Page was talking about beating up comedy wrestlers, and he's like, yes, let's go beat them up. Like, he does not even consider himself a comedy wrestler. It is so, so great. I mean, perfectly done. Like, I question why he's not in, at times before, I've questioned why he's not in WWE, because he just, it's that type of act that is perfectly funny, and it makes no sense, but you laugh every time on the screen. I want to see a conversation between him and R-Truth right now, and I would pay money to see that conversation.
Yeah, there you go. We then had Ricky Starks cut a promo saying how he's Pobs has now had his full undivided attention. He said, I will personally see you in New York City. And then we had the main event of Rampage, the Ring of Honor World Television title match between Josh Woods and the champion, Samoa Joe. All I cared about was I got to see Samoa Joe back wrestling on my television screen in AEW. I think Josh Woods is fine, but I'm here for Samoa Joe. And Tony Nese did some good jobs getting involved to make this match more evenly matched as they were working on his arm for a good amount of it. Some good work from Josh Woods working on the shoulder and the arm. But eventually, though, Joe just blows through him. Sterling was able to distract him a little bit. But then as Samoa Joe hit the STO and then proceeded to hit the muscle buster to get the pin, that's all you need. Tony Nese blindsides Samoa Joe, and they start double-teaming him until Wardlow comes out to make the save. He was about to powerbomb Sterling until Nese pulled him out of the ring. Can I say, I like this save. Can we get, dude, if we got Wardlow versus Samoa Joe, I feel like those two big men slapping meat, those two could do a fucking insane match. Like, I know they both have championships, I understand. Like, I would rather have Wardlow like defend his title at this point, because the TNT championship is just a paperweight at this point, unfortunately. It's kind of mean to say, but that's kind of what it is right now. So I'd rather him defend the title, but I would also like to see Samoa Joe and Wardlow beat the shit out of each other. I think that would be a fucking crazy ass match. So can we get both? Just give me that match, and then have somebody come out and start a whole program with Wardlow with somebody challenging for the TNT title. Do both of those things all in one night. You could do that both in one night, and it'd be great.
Shout out to the greatest attorney ever, Mark Sterling, who gets his undeserving clients title shots all the time. Fun little match. Now Wardlow comes out and he just looks like Wardlow. And Ward Joe is what I heard it called. Samoa Low is another one that Wardlow threw out there. I would love to see them tag, but I'm more looking forward to seeing them fight.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. I'm excited for that as well. But that was AEW Rampage, so we can now quickly go through all the matches that are going to be on Grand Slam week. First, with Dynamite, we have, again, all five of our championship matches taking place. All Atlantic title between Pac and OC. The four-way for the AEW Interim Women's Championship between Toni Storm, Serena Deeb, Athena, DMD, and Claudio versus Jericho for the ROH World title. Swerve and Our Glory versus The Acclaim for the AEW Tag titles. And, of course, Jon Moxley versus Bryan Danielson for the AEW World Championship. Over to Rampage, we have the one title match, which is Jade Cargill versus Diamante for the TBS title. Rey Fénix and Jungle Boy will be going one-on-one. You have the Rampage Golden Ticket Battle Royal, which the only match people that have been announced for the match are Jay Lethal, Hangman, Lance Archer, and Penta. You're going to get Wardlow teaming with Samoa Joe to face Tony Nese and Josh Woods. You get the tag match between Hook and Action Bronson versus, what was 2.0, but now is Matt Menard and Angelo Parker. Ricky Starks versus Powerhouse Hobbs. And Sting and Darby versus the House of Black, where it's going to be, most definitely, it's going to be Brody King and Buddy Matthews.
Yeah, I thought they even said it was like a no DQ match, but I'm not 100% sure on that match. Yeah, show is like loaded. Pay-per-view quality, almost like literally, if you take these, 12 matches, that's a pay-per-view. This is a pay-per-view, I mean, that I would pay to see, you know, and it's like you get in that New York over 4 hours. Make sure you bring your energy drinks or definitely Arthur Ashe should have rock stars or whatever type of energy drink they have.
Something.
Because it's a 4 hours of taping. I mean, that's a long taping that it's in New York, so it won't start until like, eight? Dang, that's a long night. But, yeah, it's going to be great, and I'm happy for everybody that gets to go. The match I'm most looking forward to, other than the world title match, because I'm a champion, I'm a belt geek, is Swerve and Our Glory versus The Acclaim, because I want to know if they're going to do it. I want to know if they're going to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how that comes out. But I think that's all we have.
What are you most excited about, sir?
What am I most excited about? I'm excited for, quite honestly, I'm excited for Mox and Danielson because I just want to see those two beat the shit out of each other. And I want to see if they really pull the trigger and they give the title to Danielson. I really want to see if they do that because I would like to see that. That would be something I would be a big fan of, honestly. Because you know what? When Punk left WWE, the one thing I could hold on to was that Daniel Bryan was the undisputed WWE World Heavyweight Championship champion. And I held on to that for as long as I could as before he unfortunately had to vacate the title because of injury. So I very much want to see the same thing minus the injury with this right now. And I want Danielson to be AEW World Champion. So that is what I'm looking forward to the most. That and on Rampage, I want to see Action Bronson.
I don't care who wins on the world title match. I just want one time, because this has been a while since this happened, that the world champion defends his title and then loses it in a match and doesn't get hurt. Because this belt has felt cursed all year.
A little bit, yep.
So I would like non-cursed action going on. That would be super, super great. So I'm looking forward to it.
I would appreciate that as well.
Yeah. Like, Bryan Danielson wins, protect him at all costs. No, don't throw him out there every week wrestling. You know, build up to a title match. Let him do the title match. Let him get away. So hopefully he comes out healthy. But, yeah, don't have him in a nothing six-man tag where he can do something to himself. Like, and I'm like, it's just, I mean, protect him. Protect the champion. Whoever the champion is, protect him. Wrap him in bubble wrap. You know, have him doing DDP yoga before every event. Just protect him.
But pretty much.
Yeah. Now, so I'm going to do my finishing stuff, right?
Yeah, no. So that's all we have for our preview. We just have a few other headlines to get to right now, so I will pass that off to Floyd for him to do that.
All right. Full meter tickets go on sale Friday, 9/23. There will most likely be a pre-sale on Thursday the 22nd. Look out for pre-sale codes out there. If you're a Hills member and you listen to the show, they should send you your code to your email. Fightful Select reports AEW Revolution will be at the Cow Palace, San Francisco, California, late February, early March. I'm very excited. I definitely plan on being there. Legendary wrestling venue, so I'm really looking forward to going to the Cow Palace. And winner is, Tony Khan said in the interview, winner is coming. He hopes it to be a yearly event in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, which is, for me, my home area, because that's the closest shows come to me. So I'm looking forward. I hope that happens. He's like, man, if ratings stay up and stuff stays up in the Dallas area, that it'll keep going there. So he's kind of like he was blackmailing Dallas to keep watching Dynamite so they can get a show. So now I kind of understand why Oklahoma doesn't get in the show, because maybe, you know, people don't watch it. But that is all for the news and notes on the show. Yeah. All right. So this is where I do my thing. Yeah, it's been a long week. Took in a dog, if you didn't hear about that. And God, Lord, good Lord. That has been a very interesting change in my life. But make sure you are taking care of each other, being nice to each other. This has been Suicide Awareness Month, which you didn't think that would come up in this last thing. But, you know, make sure you're looking out for your people. Ask them how they're doing. And, you know, if they're just throwing out fine, dig a little deeper, because maybe you can help somebody. Maybe you can be an ear for someone along the line and help them through their day. I always think about, like, I'll just randomly hit up friends just like, how you doing? And it's like, I don't want anything. Just ask them how they're doing. So I'm just saying, as something that you might want to throw out there, people that you don't talk to much or you maybe used to talk to a lot, but whatever you do, just like Austin on the mic when he's hosting this show, whatever you do in your life, whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.